Welcome to the Build Guild Podcast, a professionally unprofessional podcast for makers.
Yay.
Who are you?
Yeah, who are you?
I am Mark Bates of Mark Bates Contracting.
Yes, with the original crew here. We got Brian, hi. Cody, and me, Ben. And Mark is our guest today.
Yay.
And you're a maker of what?
Construction.
Yeah, just general construction, really.
General construction.
I don't make a lot of little bits and pieces.
We're in my shop, and you basically made the shop.
Yeah,
that's true.
Speaking of.
That's true.
That's why it's a little crooked. And
added on to it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not good for business.
It's fine.
Yeah, figuring out how to add on to a gambrel roof.
Yes.
I mean, Ben helped, in all fairness.
It worked out really well. The overhang area to store stuff was just an afterthought. It's been magical.
Well, you know, I planned that. I put it in the blueprint.
Yes.
It was not a happy accident. Happened on purpose.
You know, I love it when a plan comes together.
What, Cody, you went to Michigan this week.
No.
Wait.
Minnesota.
It's all the same.
Minnesota.
Yeah. For your TV show.
Yeah, so I was
Give us an update on that.
Yeah, so I went to Southern Canada, and it was awesome.
That was the coldest I've ever felt. We did, Mark and I did lacrosse in college.
Yeah.
And we had a tournament up there, and it was the coldest cold I've ever been in.
Really?
In Minnesota?
Yeah. I was super cold that day.
I've been there
before. I think that's because we were wearing shorts and not dressed for the cold.
Well, that would probably figure into it.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, we were not expecting it to be cold because it was like May.
It was cold.
So we showed up. I guess it just snowed maybe 2 to 3 weeks before we got there. And so I was kind of expecting it to be cold. Dude, it was beautiful weather. It was like perfect 75. Me and my wife, we had like a lot of free time. And she went with me because now she's the social media coordinator for Organic. And so we went on a hike in Interstate Park in Wisconsin, which wasn't a far drive.
I watched your Instagram stories.
It was the coolest thing because at the St. Croix River, and there's another river that meet that's smaller, and they form the Mississippi.
Oh, you saw the beginning of the Mississippi.
So it's the beginning of the Mississippi.
Headwaters.
And we're down by closer to the end of it down here in Arkansas.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It's cool. Okay. You know, we like to do outdoorsy stuff and hike, and it was like there's a lot of, from the ice age is what they call it, the potholes. It's just this heavy runoff area from ice that melted, I guess, and it created these huge, like, just perfect holes, circles that look like they go on forever.
In what? In the rock?
Just in the rock formation, yeah. It's basically, we were looking at it, and my wife's like, there's probably a body down there. I'm like, the fact that you even thought of that, I'm not getting closer.
Weird.
Like, I'm not getting closer to that.
It's too close to Canada. Yeah. People are kind up there.
They really are. They were, like, super nice. That's why I called it Southern Canada, because it was like, everybody was just super, really, really nice. And I was like, man, it's like being back here in the South. So
nobody's flicking you off. They're waving to you down as you drive.
Yeah, that's why I said I didn't go to Michigan. Michigan's full. Well,
yeah. You know. Full of
Minnesota,
just
not Michigan.
Northeast.
My dad's family's from Michigan.
So you saw you didn't get to see Ty. He left before you got there.
Yeah. So the day we got there, he was doing a book signing at the Mall of America that afternoon.
Sorry, who is this?
Ty Pennington.
Okay, thank you.
And
Brian, if you're
the show,
not just watching on YouTube and you're listening to the podcast, Brian is now drawing on his iPad once again.
That's what I get paid for. Continue. Paid for this, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. In Bitcoin.
Good answer.
That'll be worth it again.
He's I think he's drawing Mark, his caricature, or his meeple, whatever you called it before.
Mini me's. I don't know.
How do you pronounce caricature?
Caricature.
Caricature.
Yes.
Caricature.
That's right.
That's not real, is it?
Yeah. That's
the real Brian real. He's an artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways,
back to your geology trip.
I didn't want to learn anything tonight.
It's Ty Pennington. Okay, I got it.
Yes.
Ty Pennington. So he's doing a book signing at the Mall of America that afternoon. So we landed. From the airport, we went and just knocked out the Mall of America. I'd never been. My wife had been when she was younger.
Yeah.
I'd never been. Just wanted to see it. Really?
Yeah.
Was only there for a little while, and then we left. And he showed up, I guess, later on do a book signing or whatever.
So you didn't cross paths.
They didn't cross paths, but I saw where they had it roped off for his book signing. It was like half the mall.
Really?
Wow. I was like, holy cow. Yeah. There's a lot. Like, I mean, I bought the book, and I'm hoping to like corner him when he's here to have him sign it.
I saw that thing. I saw an ad for it. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Live life
to
the extreme.
Yeah, I totally got that.
Life to the extreme. Right. I'm with you. I haven't started because I'm finishing up another book, and I'm a slow reader.
What book are you reading? Mark would like to know. He's a reader.
You're a reader?
Is it a fantasy book? Because that's what Mark likes.
It's called The Guide for Dudes. It's actually it's from the Christian Book House. It's just a men's ministry thing. It's pretty cool.
Dudes.
Yeah. I only bought it because I had a beard on the front. I'm kidding. It was actually a gift. And I just started reading it on the plane, and I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Huh.
So, anyway, I haven't started it yet. But, yeah, so I'm trying to corner him when he's here to have him sign it.
Yep.
You know.
But they, so you went into the Deluxe. You're there for a week. They're doing what to you when you're up there?
So, while we're there, we had segments of where we kind of just met with the web designers. Each business has their own team of people.
All the businesses are up there.
All
when
the
you're
businesses
there
were there when we were there. Searching. Yeah, so it was kind of cool because we went with, you know, I didn't know all the businesses very well. Like Sean Hutchins,
from Zion Climbing. Zion Climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I kind of knew him in passing. You know, I've met him a few times, but I didn't really, you know him well. Really, just they're all great people. I think all the business owners that were picked were like, I was truly like. Even the ones I didn't know, as I got to know them, I was like, I can see why you got picked. You guys are pretty good. Pretty cool cats.
Good people, terrible businessmen.
That's
the worst intent.
Zion's been hanging on for a long time. No pun
That's
intended.
True. Yes.
So, yeah.
So they're building your website, and you don't have a website at all. You don't have anything. No, there's no website for you.
No, because my thing was, I'm a one. I kind of do things at a perfectionist rate. Meaning, if it's not done correctly, I won't even start it. Like if I can't finish it and it do it like perfect, I won't start.
Let's ask Mark how he does with his projects. I think he follows the same philosophy.
Yeah, it's something like that, except exactly the opposite.
Okay. You start it and figure it out.
I do 95% of every project, and then there's 5% left undone. On at least my last count was 23 projects around the house right now.
Yeah.
23?
Well, see, that's your own home. Those things, like, you know.
Yeah, it's the last thing to get worked on, but it is frustrating for me, much less anybody who ends up residing
That's true.
In that house.
Lesson of the story, if Mark puts his house on the market, don't get it.
It's not finished.
Unless you're ready to put in that last 5%.
No, because there's still a castle out on the front yard?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, there's that.
Yes, so we will post a picture of your castle on the Build Guild Instagram. So
yes, we will.
Look up the Build Guild podcast on Instagram, and we'll show a picture of Mark's castle. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll put it right here. Ding. I don't know what the castle happened? Sound
I don't
is.
No, okay.
And watch it back on video.
Drop the drawbridge.
Your castle.
Oh, cool.
And you put that castle right in front of the house.
Yeah.
You said, you know what? If I'm going to do it, I'm going to build it right in front.
I did it for a purpose.
The showpiece.
It's not a showpiece.
It's a showpiece.
We were doing foster care. And when a kid comes into foster care, that's a pretty crappy night for them usually. And I wanted it so that when the kid came up the driveway, that like they saw something that made them feel a little bit better about their crappy night.
Yeah.
So
Cody Foster's.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I think that's an awesome idea. I actually had
so a castle is in your future then.
Yeah. I mean, if I can get a castle,
I know someone who builds them.
Yeah. You want to come to my house, build a castle, cover up my lawn.
Yeah. I will build 95% of your castle.
That's true.
That is so true. Do that.
So you did all your website stuff. They don't give you the website and show you it. They just we're picking it.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Whatever.
Yeah. They
so you'll actually see that for the first time on TV. I actually watched the season one, and I'm starting season two. It is a really good show.
It gets better every season.
It does.
That's why I'm like, man, I like being season four because each one has gotten better. I'm like, it's gonna happen now.
So don't screw it up.
No, that's my deal. Well, that's the biggest thing. Man, there's a lot of pressure to that. And I was actually talking to some people that were on my team. They had like a little social gathering one night, and while we were there, like you have the, like every, like I said, every business has a team of people. Like you got a web designer, you got a CEO guy, you got, I don't know, like it's just ton of marketing, like whatever. And these people are brilliant. And I'm like, wow. Hope that when you guys are gone, I don't screw this. I was like,
the year when they come back in whatever, however many months, yeah, they, the so next they come, season, well, yeah, it's like, how you doing? You'd be like,
I'm poor. And I'm
like, are you going to be that one that his business doesn't exist?
Season four, his house is in foreclosure.
Yeah.
I had to move, two-time award winner.
I had to move cities and start somewhere else because people were running the room. So, It's been a ride, man. I'm excited. It'll be coming to a close pretty soon. And then the show will air in October.
Okay.
And that's another thing, man. The production crew behind this thing are just awesome people.
Really?
Like, I mean, obviously, I've never been like on TV.
Yeah.
Not even an episode of Cops, which is surprising. And so, I was, you know, for them to be like how they are as far as, you know, because we do foster, so there's some things that, of my life that we can't put on television and things like that. There's a lot of, you know, discretion that is involved, and dude, they just handle it with such grace, and they're good about it. They're not trying to like push it or anything.
That's
it
with the show. I was really impressed with, like, there was no negative. There was no negative at all.
Not
it's
at
like,
all.
You need help here. The way the wording.
Yeah.
The approach, everything was super positive. I was really impressed.
Yeah. So one thing, Amanda Brinkman, the host.
Yeah.
She did she's been doing a lot of like going around and doing these speeches and stuff. And her motto of do well by doing good. So like is pushing your businesses, your focal point, like what your why, pushing your why, not what it is that you're doing basically, but why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And if you're doing something for a good cause or a good reason, you will succeed.
Huh.
And she, like, you know, they throw out statistics and it's just really interesting. And which gave me a lot of hope because, you know, when I started this, it was basically giving tables away. It was charity basically. And it was like, how do I make a business out of this? And then I look back at, like, just in the last, since we went official in January, you know, well, December, we made the decision and we did it. And then, like, all the pieces kept rolling into place. And it's like, yeah, that's all you got to do is just do good, man. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not, you know, trying to say karma, energy of the force or whatever, but I mean, it's definitely.
People recognize it. I have the same kind of thing with the CNC stuff. Cause, like, I created, like, the waste board for my Shapeoko CNC and stuff like that, and it's helped a lot of people because it's hard to clamp things to the board, and when you first get a machine you're kind of overwhelmed, like, what do I do? And I created these files for myself and I was like, other people can use them too. And I uploaded them to Etsy for $1.99 and I put them on my blog for free. I don't care how you get it. I didn't want to make money. It was just like, our work's already done. And I cannot tell you how many people buy the files after they have already downloaded the free ones, just because they're like, this helped me out a ton. It's amazing. It blows me away.
Well, I mean, and dude, Shapeoko, they should be like, they should add they should build your waste boards and the little clamps and all the little things you make and add that as like an extra that you can buy.
Yes.
Because if they would have had that, I would have bought it.
I've
yet to make one because of time. I mean, I would have paid whatever.
I
would have paid materials plus times four or whatever.
I had one guy buy the full waste board from me already made. And I was like, the file's out there. You can make this yourself. Mm-hmm. And I have a video walking you straight through it. And he's like, no, I want you to make it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's going to be super expensive to ship a big hunk of MDF.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I want you to make it. And I was just appreciative of that. I was like, okay, no problem.
I'm telling you, if Shapeoko, because they already send like a big chunk of MDF that you have to brad nail to for the first few times before you get any waste board ideas. And for someone who's not a hobbyist and are doing other things as a way of making money and they got other orders in, I don't really have time to sit down.
Time saving is a big deal.
My time is money. And if I can outsource it and sub, like basically if I can buy it, that's subbing it out.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yep.
Just saying, they should do things.
All right, well, I'm getting in contact with them.
You need to let them know.
Let them know.
You let them know. Let them know. They need to send me one.
If you already have one.
What's that?
That's you already have one.
I don't have one yet.
You need more than one. Well, you need two or three in a production shop.
No, I mean the wasteboard.
Oh, the wasteboard.
I don't need the whole setup. Whatever. I already got one of those.
Yeah.
But I do need the wasteboard.
Yep.
Tell them to make it.
And now, Mark, you want one? Being around it. You just said today.
Yeah,
you
want a CDC.
A CDC?
What? I don't even know what that thing is.
CNC.
CNC. Yeah.
Computer numerically controlled.
Is that what that stands for? Mm-hmm. No, I did not even know.
Really?
Well, I better check myself. To me, it just
it sounds like woodwork I don't have to do.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like stuff can pop out of my mind onto wood, and I won't have to.
Let's talk about the woodwork you do. There. You do do. You. So I
do do woodwork.
So I and Cody and occasionally Brian come from the finer woodworking, where a 16th or an eighth is a big deal, and you're in the construction industry.
Yep. I like it rough.
To where you just cover it up with some trim.
That makes my work sound so crappy.
Every time I discuss your work, it's like, anybody can do that with their eyes closed. What work do you do? For the listeners out there, what are you covering?
It is easier to say what I don't do.
What's your bread and butter?
CNC.
You're a full time. This is your job. This is your life depends on it.
More or less a millwork carpenter. I do windows and doors more than anything else, and then I do basically everything else, because in the winter when things slow down, I'll put generally one addition on a house. Start to finish. I try to do one per year. Try to not do more than that, because that usually runs me into my window season.
What do you say? An addition would take how many? I'd say months, right?
Usually maybe 2 months. It depends on what we're doing. I've added a second story. Second story takes a little longer.
Because you're tying, like, you have to rip the house apart and figure out how to attach it.
And that's I really enjoy the winters. That's what I do. It, you know, when I'm doing windows and doors, I don't have to think too much. It just kind of rolls through because I've done a bunch of them. But I enjoy stepping into a project and looking at somebody's house and hearing what they want, how they're trying to use the space, and then working with them and trying to figure out how we can use the structure but expand the structure and get what they want to out of their living space. Huh. So.
And build them a castle.
And build a castle.
Of a castle. Anyway.
And you 100% these houses, or are you only 95?
No, 100% generally.
You have 95% on the side of your truck?
Unless somebody wants to
95% of the time, he does them 100% of the time.
you're by yourself? You have help?
I usually have 1 to 2 helpers. Right now I'm by myself. I love being by myself, so every time Albert goes to jail or something, I end up, that happens a lot.
You do drywall. So you do drywall.
I do drywall. I do drywall. But, every time a helper falls off the map, I usually sort of tread water for as long as I possibly can before I hire another one, because I'm a solitary person.
Because you enjoy that, not because you have to spend money on labor.
No, not so much because I have to spend money on labor, but there is a huge learning curve that comes from the fact that I do so many different trades. So if somebody comes in knowing how to do something, which that's take that with a grain of salt anyway. But if somebody comes in, you know, knowing how to do sheetrock, well, I might not do sheetrock for, you know, 2-3 months, and they have to learn everything new and take care of my tools, my truck and stuff like that. So there's a major liability.
Do what? And not do meth.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's a big deal.
That's kind of a big deal.
Cody's trying to get an employee or two. What is your tip for the listeners and Cody?
Don't use Craigslist.
Write that down. I have some good stuff to say, but I can't. It's, kids are listening.
That's right.
So, keep it G-rated. G, PG.
So,
any positives to get employees? What's the...
I mean, there, you know, work-wise, no. The other than saving your back a little bit. For me, if I when I hire somebody, they ride around all day with me, so I get to have an impact. And that's a positive thing. Like, I see that as sort of a part of my ministry, is somebody that is stuck in the truck with me all day. So
yeah. Captive
yeah.
audience.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I can just talk them.
Yeah. That's why Jesus took a boat everywhere.
Oh. Can't get away.
Can't swim, can you be?
But I mean, other than that, no workers so far. I am looking for the Holy Grail worker that I could begin to build the business around. That would be, that's my dream right now.
How many years are you into it now?
13.
13 years and you're still looking. So 13. There's still hope for you, Cody.
No. That 14th year.
Yeah. 14th year.
Basically, turns around. If I have a kid now, by the time
absolutely.
Train them up a little bit.
Are you going to strain any child labor laws by that point?
No, I mean, it's like 15. I think
you're good. Okay. As long as you don't pay them, it's not child labor.
And, okay, all right, great. And I got the safety of a saw stop.
That's true. That's true. Cody and I finally got our saw stops in the shop, put together, and turned on. Did you cut any wood with it?
I have not cut it.
You just turned it on.
I turned it on. I have stuff to cut. So
tell him what happened when you turned it on.
He went to Michigan. Minnesota. Sorry.
What?
You put it together, and then you left
the state. Drawing. Yeah. Start drawing.
Okay. I'll draw a mark.
Draw back. Start drawing a mark. No. So what happened was I...
this was a safety feature.
So yes, I guess. I'm going through the instruction manual of the saw stop. In the saw stop, it says it comes perfectly zeroed and right out of the thing. And I look, and I was like, okay, blade's on there. I guess it's good to go. I flip the switch, and like it immediately hits my clearance. Like just a little, just tapped it. I was like, ooh, no. So I turned it off.
The
like
insert,
it was split second. Pull the insert out, and I look down in there. The nut for the blade is not on the spindle.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, okay. At that moment, I was like, I had no reason to panic before, but now it's just like, thank you, Lord, for saving my tail because I'm an idiot and didn't check that first.
Blade obviously. Shooting off.
Well, so and then I couldn't find the nut. I was like, I went through the box, dude. I was like, where is this thing at? I was about to call SawStop, be like, you guys forgot to give me this nut for this thing, and I almost killed myself.
I turned it on. The safety.
I almost frisbeed my face with a blade because I didn't look first.
Yeah.
And it was down in the dust chute, like it fell, it fallen all the way come off. It was in all through in the dust chute. I had to like fish through all that and found it.
I got lucky and just changed the blade before I ever turned it on. I had a different blade and put it in. No, that was just the luck of the draw. I had a blade I was going to put in before.
But was yours on there when you opened it?
I don't even remember. I think so. I don't remember. No, I had to use the nuts to get it off.
What kind of blade did they come with?
They're Titan. 40?
Yeah, 42? No, I just mean like brand.
Their brand.
It's a saw stop brand. Yeah. Is it not like awesome? Like
I think it is.
Incongruous with the price of the saw.
I think it is, but I also don't get a bunch of tool companies giving me free stuff.
Like, yeah,
I got a free blade, so that's the one I put on.
So who gave you the free blade?
Tools Today.
Okay.
It's an Amanda.
Well, I mean, if they're gonna give you free stuff, they say
Tools Today is sponsoring my blade. Yep. So I put that on.
This story.
And this story. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I'll cut with both and let you know.
Yeah.
Does it make a difference? And I can't tell a difference between like a 40 tooth and an 80 tooth.
You really?
Meh.
Well, it depends on what you cut.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't have much use for a 40 tooth.
You can?
I don't. I mean, I can use it to rip stuff, but usually it makes such a mess of everything that I have to go slow. That's what I don't like. The 80 tooth, you know, I can do my crown, stuff like that with it.
A lot more trim work.
And I do, I use my miter more on trim than just about anything else. So.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of miters, I got the new miter in too.
Yes. So, awesome.
Yeah.
He's got the miter that doesn't have the things out the back.
Yeah.
The rails. So you can put it up like against a wall, and then it's like got like this robotic arm.
Does it slide?
Spins.
No, it
doesn't
slide.
No, it's got
like
an arm.
It's an inch.
But
so
I mean,
smooth.
It still has that action.
Yeah, it's 12-inch.
I don't even have one that's like that.
That's crazy.
I just have the regular.
Talk about the tools between us and you, like, you use tools totally different. You don't even, you came in and you didn't know what a planer was.
I don't, like, all the stuff you guys talk about, I don't.
You don't use that at all, which blows me away.
What's your tool? What do you have on your tool belt that you always reach for?
The big three, as I call it, is the compressor, the miter, and the table. But all of mine, the key to my life is travel. And so all of my tools have to be able to, like, I don't just buy them for quality. I have to buy them for how tough they are because I have to assume that somebody who didn't graduate high school is going to be loading the trailer.
So do you have a brand that you gravitate toward for dependability? Well,
no, I don't want to dog.
Or do you have any that you hate?
I have mostly DeWalt.
Okay.
And honestly, my table saw I got new. I always buy used miter saws because I always buy them out of somebody's shop. Somebody will have them in this environment, and they're fine. Mm. And I'm going to take them on the job site and just beat them up. Mm-hmm. But the difference is also I go through one table saw a year, one miter saw every 2 years, one compressor every 7 months.
Wow.
Nail guns, all my nail guns.
Them all hours, every single work
Well,
day.
It's a lot of it's the travel. Okay. Is they just don't. I mean, on a job site,
throw them in the back of the truck and off we go.
Right. So it's things.
That's so different because none of my tools leave my shop.
Yeah. Ben would be a nervous 1% wreck as a contractor.
Yeah. It's true. Oh, I couldn't be it. Yeah, I couldn't. I don't think I could be a contractor.
It's a different mindset for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You know? It's all, everything. Every tool that I have is disposable.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, that's like my mindset.
And my mindset is, I'm buying the last tool I'm ever gonna buy in my life.
Yeah,
that would be weird and amazing.
I'm gonna spend. Yeah, but I'm spending a ridiculous amount compared to what you spend.
The tools that like your Festool stuff.
Yeah.
I was looking up there, and I don't even want to touch it. Because I feel like I'm going to get close to it, and then, like, music is going to start coming out. Like, and I was just like, I don't need to be anywhere near that stuff.
Well, when you talk about transportability, they're all in sustainers.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's got a handle.
And
in
even
a case.
Just make sure the latch is closed.
I will say, in the back of a truck.
The first thing that breaks on anything is the handle. Important fact.
Okay.
So, I mean, those little boxes probably wouldn't. I don't know. They're Festools.
You'll
expensive
never,
enough.
Never know.
Yeah, I'll never know.
You'll never know.
I don't. I'll just keep buying DeWalt.
One tool you never use is a sander. Am I right?
No, I use a sander.
Oh, really?
I use sanders on my decks.
Decks. You're sanding the top of the deck
when
flat
I
so you don't get
railings.
Splinters, or?
Yeah. Once I do the rails, I usually run a sander over all the joints and everything because I don't want people to get splinters.
You're going to like 121 pass, and that's as much
it's
as you sand.
It's not the kind of sanding you're talking about. Yeah. It's not 120, but it's it's
okay.
We're talking
80 grit.
Yeah,
80.
We're talking
36.
Some. Oh no. It is. Yeah, you're right. It's not 80. It's not 80. About 120.
Okay.
No,
I was thinking
it's a little smooth.
It came smoother from the mill. I wish that guy had just left it.
It just blows my mind how different. We're both working with wood, but it's just a totally different trade how things go.
You got to think the tools that we use are actually used to kind of re-mill.
Re-mill, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything that he's counting on it to be done correctly.
And right. From Lowe's.
Yep, I'm trying to pick it out of a pile the way
Lowe's.
I want it.
Terrible. Man.
Right, versus y'all making something from almost from scratch, really.
Yeah.
But
so your business has it started, and you're not really on the internet. You just started Instagram. You don't advertise,
just,
right?
Just learned what Instagram was.
You learned what Instagram was. You don't advertise and stuff. So tell how do you get your word out that you're a business? How do you
word
get jobs? Where does work?
Most of it, I'm an installer for Lowe's and have been for a long time. So
how do you become an installer for Lowe's? Do you just walk into Lowe's and say, "Hey, I want to be an installer," and they're like, "We're Lowe's, we'll take anyone."
If they're looking, well, a lot of people have trouble. Like what they're looking for is something that's like an in between. Really big companies don't work very well because they have to go through all this rigmarole, but little guys don't work very well because usually they don't do great work. So you have to be able to do good work, but you also have to be able to like run your business in a fairly official capacity. So I mean, I fit in that. I got started working for somebody who was a Lowe's installer, and so the transition into becoming one was really easy for me. And they're over 50% of my work. And then because of them, I'm in so many different houses that word of mouth just works for me. I would rather advertise a little, but
yeah,
that's another thing that definitely, you know, differentiates him. He's interacting face to face with people a lot more than those of us just stuck in a shop doing crafting.
I'm never face to face with anyone.
Yeah, no, that's a huge part of my job because a job changes dramatically depending on the person that I'm talking to. Okay. I can be doing the exact same thing for two different people, but one person is so different from the other and what they require that it just totally changes how that job has to happen.
Have you ever had someone like totally change their mind halfway through a job and be like, yeah, just start all over?
Change
everything.
The closest thing, I mean, and one reason why I don't do fences as much is that fences have a tendency to move sometimes.
Okay.
Property line issues and junk. I have completely installed a fence and then had the entire thing have to move before.
Oh,
which
wonderful.
Is amazing.
And you eat that cost or you
no.
charge?
Well, I didn't in that case. That was a Lowe's job. So that was Lowe's.
So the benefit of working for Lowe's is if something goes wrong, it's on Lowe's, not on you.
I do something wrong, it's on me and it will always be on me. But if, Lowe's is a really good buffer. And the thing about that is that if I were doing the exact same stuff on my own, stuff goes wrong. You know, you order stuff from a store and it comes in wrong and it's not your fault. It's not the customer's fault, but somebody's got to eat it. And most of the time the stores won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so working for Lowe's will always eat it. But if I ordered it from, one of the other stores in town, sometimes they won't.
Yeah.
Or like there's, the cost associated with losing a day because, they got something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And that happens all the time.
It's
a big part of my life.
For you.
So
something wrong from them.
Yeah.
So would you rather work for them more or for yourself more? If you had the option.
The general concept is to work for myself all the time. That would be great. Not have it, but it's not because of, sometimes it's because of Lowe's, but most of the time it's because I don't necessarily want to be talking to a customer.
Oh.
And it makes me sound like like I hate people.
No.
But I mean, that's the variability in the job. I like swinging a hammer. I'm a hammer monkey. If I could swing a hammer and be my own boss, literally, instead of having 300 different bosses a year, that would be a very stress-free environment. The only problem is trying to motivate yourself to wake up in the morning.
Mm.
If you don't have to get out of bed to make somebody else happy, would you?
Yeah.
I'd probably make a lot more beer.
he crafts his own in-house.
Yeah, Mark has quite a creative streak, actually.
Tell us about the other things that
making. What do you call it? Do you have a name for it? Is it like Hammer L or something like that?
No. I just homebrew, and I'm not... Well, last couple batches have been good, but I'm not amazing at it or anything I would brand it.
Are you doing like pinkies up?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, long neck, formal. Pinky up. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
No, it's on tap now.
Oh, wow.
You need me to... Hey, I can carve you a tap and laser on your logo.
Yeah, do it. I need four.
That we can do it.
Sweet.
Man.
I think I just held up three fingers.
Yes.
Not a math major.
Math's not important in construction.
Yeah, not at all.
Your tape measure has letters on it.
It's got...
Tell us about the upper room in your house.
Oh.
I think that's cool. Cody just met you today.
Mm-hmm.
So tell Cody, like, as you're telling everybody on the podcast, he's never met you, about your upper room.
I have... Well, I'll introduce it by saying... that because I have so many conversations about with people about their houses and about resale value and cost and things being intelligent, I'm pretty purposeful about not being intelligent with my own house. I try to get whimsical with it. Mm-hmm. So
his projects do not bring resale value to his house.
No, not at all.
cool stuff, but not resale. Yeah.
So I have a
feeling.
Yes. But childhood not, dreams.
Right.
But yeah.
So I have I put a like a hidden passage in there with a my roof is a pretty steep pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some space up there, and I turned that space into like a hidden room and put a spiral staircase outside the house. And then there's a wardrobe in front of the spiral staircase. So
I didn't know
that. That is epic.
The kids can go through the wardrobe, up a spiral staircase, and go.
I'm guessing you're a C.S. Lewis fan. Is that how that came about?
A little bit. I mean, yeah. The wardrobe made sense. It fit the hole.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was not like whimsical heavily inspired by that. But it was, it was just kind of, I could build an addition that the kids could play in, or I could just use the space I had. So.
Sure. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Kids go upstairs and play with Aslan.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime the nieces and nephews come over, they always sleep up there. And
we
have like video and mic'd stuff up there so that we can talk to them and know what temperature it is and all that stuff up there.
That's awesome.
Did you put one of the rooster
whirly bird
whirly things up top? You need to.
It's got my roof has the vent. It's got the vent, the ridge vent that runs all the way down that breathes. And then it's got the tunnel vents that go up. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
I'm not a roofer.
You're not a builder of houses.
I don't know the vernacular of that particular thing. But
that was the 5% that he didn't do.
Yeah, that was. Absolutely.
That's right. Yep.
I did not build this house.
You got a shed in the back that's like a shop now?
100% made out of trash, yes.
Yes. We talked about the difference between you and I.
Yeah,
and
goodness.
Yeah, my shop has shutters, and before I had a planter box, I painted it. And your shop is basically the same, but it's made out of trash, and it looks...
Yeah. It looks okay.
It looks good.
Look, a coat of paint on it.
Yeah.
Put a little lipstick on that pig.
But that's the 5% you'll never do.
That is the 5%. I'm looking for somebody that's going to do that 5% for me.
Uh-huh.
But
nobody likes to paint. Is it?
No.
Well,
it's worse.
Except for
that's true,
Brian.
Except for the artist.
But literally, it's a... I don't know how big the shop is. It's something like 30 by 16.
It's bigger than mine.
And it's, considerably.
It's longer.
But it literally every stud in it is pulled off of out of somebody's house. The metal on it was from somebody's old roof. I built the entire shop. The only wood, the only thing I went to the store to buy was the treated wood on the floor. And then everything else was, I think the treated wood on the floor total. Oh, no, I put sheathing on it, too, underneath the metal. So all of that stuff cost $800 for that shop, and that's it.
Dang.
So, and that's how I roll.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the nicely spiral staircase done up into the room upstairs, that's all. I mean, I didn't buy anything for that.
These are, so if you're listening and you're not following Mark, you need to follow Mark. He's at Mark Bates Contracting.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, B-A-T-E-S. Contracting.
Yep.
And I'm charging you to take pictures of these things around your house,
mm-hmm.
or maybe video walkthroughs and post them on your Instagram so we can all see it.
Yeah, I want to do a video walkthrough of the castle.
Yeah,
that would be cool
for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trebuchet.
I should do the trebuchet.
These are really cool things. He made a trebuchet, like a big working.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we were in college, we lived together. And
tell the story of the four wheeler and the campfire.
Yeah, I don't remember the campfire.
You don't remember the fire department showing up?
Oh,
jeez.
Oh, kind of, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was that one time.
Dragging behind the boat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had a four-wheeler. We had an inflatable boat, and we tied a rope to it. And there was a field right next to us, and we were just cruising and slinging people around in the back like it was water. Yeah.
The boat, dragging people in the boat.
Dragging people in the boat.
And then we pulled out the trebuchet and started trying to launch balls at people and catch them from the boat.
And then we pulled out the trebuchet.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's huge. Shot basketballs. And my four-wheeler had a basket on the front.
Is that the heaviest thing you ever launched from it?
Pumpkins.
Pumpkins?
Pumpkins. Yeah. But, I mean...
So no real combat. It's all real combat.
No. A combat trebuchet is...
huge.
But what I'm thinking of for my next YouTube video for my channel
mm-hmm.
would be to make one, like it'd be a little series, like a castle series maybe, where we make another trebuchet
mm-hmm.
and then we what was it? New Well, I don't remember what the rest of the series is, but ending where we are having a battle against the castle, defending the castle, and it ends up at night where we're shooting flame bullets and the castle just goes up in a total.
Needs to be done.
What? Can we burn this down?
It's what I like to call moving.
Yes. I think it'd be awesome. It'd be a sweet
You
video.
Can't be home because then insurance is asking questions. It's like, why did you have these dorks in medieval costumes burning your house down?
Oh, LARPing.
Yep,
we were LARPing with real fire.
We'll blame it on Brian.
Yeah, because I do that all the time. Mm-hmm.
Just like Picard.
Brian, what are you up to these days? What are you diving into?
I'm printing stuff on my 3D printer, including the 9 rings of the Nazgul from Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh. Yep. Speaking of. Uh-huh.
The ring rings. unfortunately, I'm not good
enough.
For all
9 fingers?
No. The 9. 9. 9 for mortal men doomed to die. Did you watch the movies or read the... You did watch
but
the movies.
But I thought you would wear all 9 rings on 9 of your fingers.
No,
what are you wearing?
Okay,
he's wearing
a
glove.
If you can
Michael
see
Jackson.
This. Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's okay, and the guy that gave me this, that was the first thing that he busted out, and he handed it to me, and he's like, here, take this. And I was like, what is this? What are you...
This is weird
Michael
glove.
Jackson was the first thing. No, this just
the glove
keeps
is protecting
the
two
skin
of his fingers.
Of my, the oil on my skin from... Messing up the iPad.
So the iPad doesn't register his hand
and it doesn't
when he's
register my hand.
It's like
so.
A pad valactic.
Yes. And it makes things much easier to deal with.
Exactly.
So I'm just printing.
We'll post a picture of that glove on the Instagram.
We should definitely
This is
do that.
Weird.
I am the artistic version of Michael Jackson, except I'm not.
We're going to bejewel that thing.
Please don't.
Please do it. It needs to happen.
Okay. Anyway, finding geeky, STL files on My Mini Factory and Thingiverse and printing them out left and right.
That's where I got the Optimus Prime. Print,
right. Which is amazing.
The coolest thing ever.
It is. Yeah. I'm also making. I have two projects right now that are substantial that I can't really talk about because they're surprises for people that. Probably what? Aren't listening.
Can
but
you
they
talk about
be.
Medium of what they are? Would
well,
that give it away?
Paint, cardboard, stencils, art prints, 3D printed objects, wood, stain.
Every medium.
I mean, practically everything. Everything you can think
My
of.
My whole shop.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Everything.
You hit summer break.
Shop is made out of.
he's taking pieces from your shop and making it into
I finished the school year this week, so now I've got
You're
a bit
officially
more time.
Full-time.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But it'll change soon because my wife's going to direct the day camp of a summer camp, and sometimes our daughters will be with her and sometimes they'll be with me, but... We'll have a good time.
Yeah.
You're full-time arting? Is that what you're talking
Pretty
about?
Pretty much,
yeah. He's trying to go full-time arting. Fiery squirrel.
So I've been Instagramming twice a day. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know, right?
So you have to find internet somewhere because he doesn't have it at his house or his phone.
And now that you're crazy out of school for the rest of the summer, I mean, where are you going to go?
To do what?
To get the internet.
Walmart on his lunch break.
There's Walmart.
There's no Walmart.
There's
you still
Lowe's,
go to Walmart?
There's...
I know somebody that has a shed with the internet.
I mean, there's Ben's shop. True. There's Myers Wood shop and times like this. So, yeah, I make it work.
Yeah.
Full plate then.
Yeah.
Summer.
I got way too
We're
much
working
going
on a CNC
on.
Sign.
Oh, right. We're doing a 5-foot therapy clinic.
5x2
CNC sign.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I saw it. Half of our letters are cut out. Yeah. And I posted a picture where there's a letter missing, but we put it all on the thing. And everybody's saying, you missed the R, you missed the R.
You were not
the only one, Mark. There's
I was hoping I
people.
Was the first, but
you
might have
been the
know.
First.
I don't know.
Haven't told anybody, that was on purpose because the R got screwed up and I have to recut it.
Okay.
But you know,
that may have been my first comment on Instagram. I'm not lying. I think it might. I was just
I
can't leave that one untouched.
Yes. A spelling mistake. Perfect.
Yeah.
spelling. Oh. I almost, so we poured the concrete and we were doing a stamp for the concrete of my logo.
Did you see that? Was that cool?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Well, when I was putting it on there, I had to look at my shirt because I was like, wait. Woodwalk, that is right.
Woodwalk.
This is gonna be the weirdest noodle place you ever been to.
This is crazy.
So yeah.
What was the concrete about?
So the building that I moved into, the front of the building had horrible foundation issues. I mean, like it was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't even like close to level.
No.
But this is a super old building. It's been 19
or 18.
I think it was early 19.
Not 18.
Really? I don't know.
Not in Arkansas.
So 1743.
It was probably one of the warehouses.
They were still trapping in the 18.
It was the original business district. Because there was the railroad that
the
used
railroad
to run
there. And the rail lines are actually still in the ground.
The rails are still
are you
in the ground.
In Kensett?
No. Right there on off BB Caps.
By Cintas.
West Mulberry.
Jada. Oh. Meat market down
I
there.
I did not know the rail.
Oh yeah. Those metal buildings. Yeah. Gotcha. So they used to like cattle auction. They bring cattle and feed and stuff. There's a feed store originally, I guess, for cattle being brought in. Yeah,
that's cool. So cool though.
The but, 2x4 or two by sixes, 2x8s. The framing is oak.
Yeah, rough cut.
Yeah, great rough cut.
Have you tried to shoot a nail in that?
No,
it's awesome. No. It'll just
so there
pop
was
your hammer back.
As a woodworker, we want to rip that all out and replace it with pine because that's high dollar oak.
You just want the oak.
Yeah,
we just want the oak. And what was funny is that the building actually had some termite damage when we first moved
in.
It was bad.
Terrible. And I know I'm in the business.
The only reason the building was still standing. Is because
they didn't eat the oak.
Because they.
But every cross brace that was pine, done.
Gone. Totally gone.
And
I believe it.
And like it's so crazy because like even the it's a truss building, so it's all the trusses, they're oak.
Wow.
I don't want to be anybody that was like trying to put those things and lift them up.
Yeah. What did they use for the ties? Because they didn't have plywood back then, did they?
No.
What did they use for the ties?
I don't really know.
Did they just like straight up use spikes?
I mean, still cut nails, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting.
But it's still
that's
there.
Cool.
But yeah.
So we leveled out the front because that's where your business office and
offers conference room
party in the back.
Yep.
Party.
Yeah, it's where my mini fridge and microwave are going.
Yeah.
Because that's what every business needs.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah. So we leveled that out so we could frame in the walls for the office and the stuff. So.
And I was over helping him, and I thought, he's like, let's go write our name in the thing. And I was like, let me cut out your logo on the CNC. And
let's do this the right way.
So, you know, you have an idea, and then Ben's like
you're
an idiot.
No. Step back and allow me.
And I'm glad he did because it turned out great.
Yeah, it looks great.
And now we're debating, do we fill it with epoxy?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I have glow in the dark
and
epoxy.
I'm thinking.
Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know. At night,
know.
You turn
how
it
long
off
is that
and your
last?
Logo glows.
If he's there at night, something has gone wrong.
If I'm there and it's dark, something went really wrong.
I guess that makes it cooler, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of in the dark, that section is in the dark.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little bit of an electrical issue.
Dude. So the building. It's kind of been a little bit of a nightmare, I guess.
Yeah.
I moved in the last week of April, and just got electricity Friday.
Dang.
Oh, so it's on.
And,
good.
Yeah, geez. So
it's on. And it is on through the entire building, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I've had that happen.
So when they were
pouring, not when I did it.
When they were pouring the concrete, the wet concrete had 120 running through it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the guy on the concrete grabbed the metal door and got shocked.
That is
okay, then.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious in that it wasn't me.
It was and it was in that moment I was like, I'm glad I don't own this building.
Yeah. That was bad.
Can't sue me.
Yep.
My goodness, that's crazy.
Yeah. So we're getting that. So now I pulled the fuse, no power up in the front. You gotta get all that fixed. But
sheesh. Yeah.
It was crazy. And you know, they're just walking through it, but they wear those like thick rubber boots for cement.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys would have all been dead.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nuts.
Or they're lucky it wasn't 3-phase 220 running through that, because there's a lot of that running through that building.
And it could be a line from 3-phase just loose hidden somewhere.
Clue.
I mean, there's no telling where it's at.
It's touching a rebar somewhere.
I don't know anything about 3-phase other than it can kill you very fast.
It's a lot of power.
It does it better.
Okay.
Well, it gets so strong at some point that it doesn't hurt you. It just blows you back.
Oh, okay.
Just
ramp it up high enough.
There's a sweet spot for killing somebody.
Okay, great. Good to know.
It's either just hurts or it pops you off.
Yeah. Or, you know, it blows out of you somewhere. Usually 110.
Yeah. True. Well, I would think that would be higher than that. 110 just... Kind of.
If you can let go.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's been interesting, but it's getting there. Moved a bunch of tools in, trying to set everything up. Put in the miner station today.
Mm. Are you working during this time? Like
building
things?
Yeah, so I'm trying to build things and put things together. And
how much fun is that?
It's very little of that really moving. Is getting done until you got to set up the shop to be able to do that.
Well, it's kind of like, how do you set up the shop? You build in it and find out where things need to go.
My shop has gone through like eight iterations.
Was that not part of the process to have somebody sort of like help you lay it out?
I mean, I kind of did that.
Really?
Wow. Well, so I mean, I knew how I wanted it laid out.
Okay.
It's just
we drew it on a piece of cardboard.
Cardboard. Yeah.
Wow. I would have done it wrong three times before doing it right. As far
he's gonna
as
do
tool
it wrong still.
Placement.
Yeah. No, I'm still gonna do it wrong somewhere, but. We have a flow of it.
Glad
it's just,
we got the optimism going here.
It just backs out. So there's two separate points of the shop. Mm-hmm. The large portion in the back has all the dust shooting particles, right? Machines.
It's got the taller roof, too. Yeah. There's no roof to it.
And then the front where there's no electricity right now is the office, conference room, assembly area. It's
final finishing area.
And it closes off from the rest of the place. But there's like table saw, joiner planer, miter, and then to get the final thing that you cut back into the. So there's a lot of back and forth and travel, but it is what it is at this point until I figure it out. Until I get electricity in the whole thing and can put it how I want it.
So you make it's something like from this. Scratch and you get all the tools and all the tools are still not there yet.
Yeah. Well, Grizzly called all those tools will be in next week.
So. Yeah. That'll be cool. Yeah. All the tools that Mark doesn't know what they do.
Yeah.
Bandsaw and what else up. From Grizzly? Or is that just a huge honking?
I still have never
inch?
Used a dado.
A dado. That's crazy.
I have one.
I've used one of them.
You have one and never used it.
I've never used it.
All right. Sure. So we're going to do something dado on purpose.
Someday. I'm not going to come home and do woodwork. That'd be crazy.
You don't do your work at home. That's for sure. Yeah. We're coming up to the end, so I got a few questions from a bunch of people online. So, choosing a few.
Okay.
Yeah, choosing a few, and we'll answer them. So cool. The first one is from, I don't know how this comes out, KSERGIY11. Kersky 11.
Uh-huh. Thought I could help you with that. No, sorry. It's a solid no.
When do you think you'll become full-time content creator? Love your style. I think they're talking to me on that one.
Yeah.
And I don't think I will. I have a really good job, which ties into another question I got, which was, why do I have my MBA and I'm an exterminator? It's a question for the ages, I guess. For one, my extermination job is a really good job. It's really good.
You know, people, I didn't know that either. Like, I would have not guessed the pay and benefits of that would have been
the pay
as
and benefits are
as you,
especially
as they are.
For where we are. I'm well above the median.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pay.
Yeah.
And my hours are.
And you don't need an MBA to do it.
No.
You just do.
Yeah.
But your hours are amazing.
My hours
That's
are amazing.
Perk.
Well, I basically work for myself.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you set your own pace. And since you're insanely efficient and
I'm very efficient.
Lickety split, you just knock it all out.
So it's more like a part-time job with a full-time
pay.
There you go.
So that's why I have an MBA and do what I do. If I used my MBA, I would probably have to drive an hour to the bigger city in Little Rock to use it.
Yeah.
And that's 2 hours of my day that I don't get paid for, that I'm not at home, and I would have way less content.
Yeah. So, I will say this, though. It is your MBA and the knowledge of how to use an MBA and how to plan well.
I was going
to
say.
That
I mean,
has made
he's
this a part-time job. Yeah, you're using it. You're just not getting paid for it.
Mark has an MBA, and we went through the MBA program at the exact same time.
Good for you guys.
I would like to know your opinion on that. So you have an MBA and you're a contractor.
I mean,
so
he's in business for
same
himself.
Question.
So
he's in business for himself.
Yeah.
Well,
business is business.
I'm making money.
Yes, you are.
By myself.
There you go.
As a creator.
You could say that it is. Well, I don't know. It's motivation because I have to pay the bill for the MBA once a month.
Okay.
So I have to go to work to pay that bill.
I will pay
That's
that bill till I'm dead.
Yeah.
And
thank you, student loans.
Yeah.
No, I would.
The generation of first in your first in your family to go to college makes all the mistakes financially, I guess. That's how it is for me. Kind of. My family didn't really know whatever. My family's not wealthy at all.
Yeah.
And I had to take money out to live. So, oh well. So that's where it is. Another question. Floyd Fabrication says, what's the best way to monetize while being accessible to the community? So how can you make money while being helpful to the community? I think that ties back to what we said earlier. Like,
do well by doing good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your intent is to help others, and that comes back to you monetarily.
Yeah. And that's been a thing for, you know, we I think it was you that I talked about it. I know I talked about it with the Deluxe team. One of the things when people are writing, because we foster and we were giving away tables to foster families that needed larger tables, and then some articles were written, and I don't post on that, and I didn't monetize off of it.
Right.
And the reason for that is because I didn't want it to be a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, people just find out and know, and it's just free publicity, really.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do anything. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to keep like resharing something or whatever. People just know if you do good and you have a good heart and you're honest about it and genuine, dude, just do whatever you need to do for your community. Word will get around and it'll get back to you.
Well, another one of the finalists in the small business, Make Do,
Joe
Ellis.
She's going to be on the show.
That was one of the other questions. I'll jump in real quick.
So don't.
Will we have any other makers?
Okay, I'll shut up. I'm sorry.
No.
Well, just, I was just going to say that's basically her business model.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that she's a nonprofit for one thing, but everything that she does, she's like, just here's basically what it costs me. Give what you want.
Yeah.
To people that actually show up and take part in her projects, that's what she does, and it works.
She's an amazing person.
People believe in that.
Yeah.
So she will be the next person we have on the show.
Yeah.
So that was one of the other questions. Will we have other makers other than woodworkers? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a matter of getting them to want to come on. And I'm going through the friends list first to make sure to make sure that we're doing right. You know, everything. And this episode, we're in HD. Whoa. As you can see, we just invested in a whole new mic setup, so hopefully it sounds a lot better.
And they're gold.
They are gold plated. It was not on purpose. That's just what it was.
Yeah, you saw it, you liked it, you bought it.
Bougie.
Yeah, we're hoping to branch in to get some artists in, some I don't even know, just whatever's.
Well, having Joe is great because I mean, she sews, like that's kind of her thing, like fabric and art and craft. Yeah,
the true craft. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And a woman's opinion, which we need.
She's like a better Martha Stewart.
Nice.
All right. One that didn't go to jail.
Less in prison.
Less Martha Stewart.
The one without a rap sheet.
Yep.
So,
What is the most underrated piece of equipment in your shop? And this is from S. Roof 7.
I'll bet each one of us could answer that
one. Let's go with you, Mark. In your shop, I guess we talk about your truck or your trailer.
Well, either way, it's the little hero is the oscillating tool.
Oscillating tool. What oscillating tool do you have?
The DeWalt battery one. I just got the one with
battery. One up there?
Cordless.
20 volt?
The XR?
Yeah. 20 V max.
I have that too.
Oscillating tool.
I had the Dremel first. Terrible.
I had a Rockwell.
Yeah, you gave me the Multimax.
And I go through one oscillating tool about every 5 months.
Okay.
So I've been through a whole bunch, and the DeWalt one's fine. There's nothing special about it, but it's it gets you out of spots so many times. Little, where you don't have to take a whole piece of trim off the wall and put it on the miter to trim it down. You just zip it and move on. So.
Yep.
That's mine.
Okay. Cody?
For me, it was actually it's probably the cheapest thing I have too. The Type Bond glue brush.
The glue brush
has been the best thing ever because I've done so many table glue ups that and it just helps me, and it helps me not waste glue. I think it's the best part. Like, it helps me kind of save money on my glue, and I'm not doing a bunch of like dirt. You know, I'm trying to do the ooze out, whatever they call it or whatever.
Right.
Because I don't want that stuff getting on there and drying and then tearing up my planer. So.
I have the Rockler branded one, but have you considered getting a glue roller? I've seen people with rollers and it looks more efficient and nicer.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know. Because I use a lot of Domino, so I can't...
Oh, you got to put it into the hole.
Well, no, I mean, the glue goes in there, Domino goes in there, but I like to, like, put a little bit of glue on my Domino. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you don't know what a Domino is, do you, Mark?
I have no idea.
Excellent.
It's some kind of a joining.
Yeah, it makes a mortise and tenon.
Yeah, it's a pre-made mortise and tenon.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's a Festool.
Really, that's it. A glue brush.
A glue
is
brush.
The most underrated. Okay. Yeah.
Brian.
Pencil.
Internet.
Pencil. Yeah. Intertrons.
Key or whatever that thing's called.
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
The thing I first did, I can't even remember when this was now, but as an adult horsing around in my dad's shop, I picked up like a Black & Decker jigsaw and started cutting out weird, just off-the-cuff shapes that I turned into this assemblage and eventually ended up painting, and it was magical. So I've had that Black & Decker and then a Skill jigsaw, and now I've got a Winn jigsaw, and I don't use them super often, but when I do...
But you need all three.
I need all three.
Yeah. You guys also use brands that I've never heard of.
Yeah. Well, I got the Winn from you. Winn is a fairly
looks like that. That's the air filtration I have up
company.
There. It's got off the side.
Yeah.
It's a cheaper brand of
I like it.
Things.
Is it?
It's kind of like a Walmart.
I met you.
It's like the Walmart brand.
It is not a Festool.
Yeah.
It's on the other end. But everything I've had from them has been very good.
Yeah.
I've only got the filtration system. And it's really
you have
good.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm about to have to get a lot more, I think. Or unless if I can find one that's bigger than another company that is
there's a lot
not
bigger
gonna
ones,
break my bank.
Yeah. That one, I think I got that one for like $89 on sale.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
You can't.
And it does what?
It sucks in the air.
Small
from the shop,
dust particles.
The dust particles, so you're not breathing them in. It's got a filter.
Y'all care about that?
So
well,
if
I'm not outdoors.
Yeah.
I'm confined
when you're trapped
small
in here.
Shop.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You care about that? Yeah. What do you mean you want to live and do this? This is weird.
I just breathe it all, man.
Yeah.
My lungs are
OSHA,
like a
OSHA
Twinkie.
Compliant. Yes. Mine would be brand new for me, but I bought the 3/8 Milwaukee Ratchet M12 powered tool.
Mm.
Like impact?
Yeah, no, for a socket.
Yeah,
like
an
air tool.
Yeah, no, it's powered by a battery.
Huh.
But yeah, I was using a ratchet to change spark plugs on my wife's car, and this isn't so much woodworking, but I've used it to put tools together and stuff. Yeah. I mean, you use a ratchet once in a while, but when you have to ratchet a ton of bolts that are in places you can't see, you're doing it by feel, and you can't move the ratchet up and down. And it takes you an hour to do that one little click at a time.
Yeah.
Because her engine is sideways, and I had to take the manifold off to get to the back three sockets.
Oh, goodness.
And I had to feel behind it. It was ridiculous. It took me 6 hours
on
a Highlander. Yeah. Oh. And I bought that ratchet, and I can do it probably in 30 minutes now.
That's awesome. And,
yeah.
Best truck ever, except for that.
But it's, I really like it. So, that's mine.
Cool.
Wouldn't
have thought.
Yeah. We have a new Patreon member,
woo!
Sam Myers. Spells it the same exact way as I do, M-Y-E-R-S.
Mm.
Maybe family.
Thank you, Sam.
But thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
Sam signed up to support our podcast.
That's what's up.
It's amazing.
Cool. Yeah. I'm still waiting for free jerky from people.
Free jerky?
Free jerky.
I have some jerky
over
here.
That's how you know you've made it, is when you get free beef jerky.
Yeah.
You've made it as a podcast.
I like you have to just sent that out there.
Exactly. It's like, you know you've made it. I'm going to send you a box of beef jerky, dude.
Anybody listening that has ties to beef jerky companies, we could use some.
Yeah.
It's perfect shop snack.
Yeah. You keep your money. You send me that beef jerky.
I want to give a shout out to Sierra Glover. She's been doing all our show notes so far.
Yeah.
Does a wonderful job. She has to listen to the whole show.
Thank you, Sierra.
And then take notes and then write about it. A summary.
And it's just boring
crap. Tough job.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, to listen to us and care about it. It's tough. Mm. But thank you, Sierra. It's amazing.
Sierra, if you're listening, you're going to get free beef jerky.
She is.
Don't you worry.
She's a fellow Harding grad.
Okay.
Later, she's going to law school now.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's using hers.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, good.
So, good luck. And hopefully you don't have student debt like us.
Yeah.
And become carpenter.
Yeah.
But if you do, Adams is hiring.
That's true.
Yeah. Always.
Always.
Are you going to work for me?
Cody,
less than minimum
wage. Cody is looking for a worker. If you're in the Searcy area, well, and so is Mark, I guess.
Mark is looking for a worker,
we're
too.
We're looking for workers. If you have any skill.
If you have all your teeth, a vehicle, and no record, please
we have the job for you.
Yeah, and can learn read a tape measure. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can pick that up on the job.
That's right.
So I'm a good
on
teacher.
On the job training.
Get a good old marking stick. You don't need no tape measures.
Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
We're going to have you back. We have so much more to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Check him out. He's on Mark Bates Contracting on Instagram. And maybe Facebook, too.
Yeah. My Instagram is baby fresh, so don't judge. I'm just learning.
He's learning.
I used my first filter
a
day ago.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
So
who does?
Make sure to give him a follow and check for the upcoming pictures of the castle
I'm
all the other things that we talked about.
Basically trying to throw stuff up all the time.
All the time.
Because you told me to.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's how you get ahead in life.
I guess.
Well, anybody have anything else to say?
No.
Finished up? Nope.
Nope.
Look for Brian's version of Mark in the caricature on our Instagram as well.
Caricature.
He drew a hobbit with a nail gun.
We're all hobbits. He does have a nail gun, though. This one has a nail gun. It's the first power tool I've given anybody.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks a lot.
Ciao.
Have a good one.
Thank you.